The computer stopped?
Yes.
Okay. Well, both things.
Yeah, the tape and the computer.
Val, wherever we're at, if that happens, please stop us.
Yeah.
You were doing your report.
Okay, let me rephrase that. Do stop us.
You know, getting the attention of that.
I'm glad you did that.
Anyway, yeah. Yeah, with things like that, you know, we want people to let us know. So have we, let's see, does anybody have any other questions or comments as far as what we can do to continue to make services both known to people and available?
This is Carlos. I think our staff, we continue to work diligently on contacting other agencies in which we can continue to learn from them or learning from them, but also referring, you know, using the resources for different situations, which we already mentioned. It helps that type of partnership and using those resources.
How does the Talking Book Library, what's our relationship with them? Like, for instance, if someone calls and applies for their services, is it something that we could have a mailer that they send out, or they refer us the name and we send out a mailing to, you know, to that person?
That's a good point too. On the application form for Talking Book Services, there is an item on their regular form that asks if they have an interest in vocational rehabilitation services. I don't remember how it's worded, but that's actually on their form if they would like for someone to talk to them. And, you know, so that is really great right there that it's on there. Now, many people may not know what that means.
Yeah.
But actually, our relationship with them, we do most of their outreach. We take their forms, as we do with the Newsline and Radio Talking Book forms, and whenever we meet with a new person, we tell them about those services and, you know, sign them up. And so I don't really know how many applicants for the Talking Book come from other sources. You know, some doctors probably tell clients about it, and then they can hear about us. But I would guess that our staff is the primary point of contact for Talking Books for people in the state. Mm-hmm. None of those entities, you know, have really staff that can really do much outreach, a little bit, you know, but it's limited. But that are really out in the hinterlands. But if anybody does hear about it from the agent or from, say, an eye doctor or senior center, maybe, or a friend, then they would at least have that item on the form that would be read to them, and they would answer. It's a little, you know, it says something about
right.
what we are.
Pearl, correct me if I'm wrong, but a couple years ago, didn't we make a public service announcement? I remember it was on video.
Yes.
Did we send that out to all the TV stations?
Uh-huh. Yeah, and at various times over the years, we've had public service announcements on radio and television, or things in the newspapers. We try to get you know, some personal interest stories sometimes in local newspapers.
Now, is that a free service that we put our public service announcements on TV or radio?
Yes, if it's a public service announcement. It's free, which also means then they just plug it in whenever they feel like it or whenever they have 30-second spot. Sometimes that means 3 a.m. So
maybe if we could encourage the media to just flood the new the airwaves with our services, you know, that might be.
And you'd have to pay for it if you.
But you know, on a local level, like even in each of your areas, you could be in touch with the newspaper in your area or the TV station. Radio stations are great. A lot of the the ones around the state have those morning coffee chat type of shows. I would encourage our staff do that some, but I think you know you all could do that kind of outreach trip too, and and encourage them to do some personal interest kinds of stories.
Sure, we do that quite often, especially White Cane Safety Month, October, and but I think the best advertisement is just what we already do. Blind people out there going to work every day and on the public buses is the best advertisement we have.
Absolutely.
You know.
That's right.
Because people see that, and if they have a blind friend, a blind parent, or child, or something, they're always going to contact you.
Mm-hmm. Well, and seeing that person out there also helps them understand there really are possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to just sit in your rocking chair and read that talking book. There's a lot more to it than that.
Or so. Working at a sheltered workshop doing basket weaving.
That's for sure.
Oh, I'm forever stopped by somebody asking about dogs or Braille or where can I get books, or because I'm always on the street, I guess. I look like a hobo. I'm always out there.
Yeah, that's it, being out there. We've talked a little bit about the center. Fatosha's here, and I'd like to see if she had anything to add that we haven't really talked about.
You know, I went back and did the statistics, and a lot of times those statistics are kind of not reliable in one way, because I don't know if Bob put it, but like when it says mental illness, I wrote diagnosed. We get a lot of people that are not diagnosed. And so Bob is talking about the numbers being high, I would double that up. I did not put unless the diagnosed drug and alcohol problem, chemical dependency problem, I did not put that in, because again, you know, we might have suspicions of drug and alcohol use, even maybe the person is an alcoholic, but as long as it really doesn't interfere with their training. We talk about AA and whatever, and we refer the people, but it is up to the person. So there are a lot of undiagnosed people coming through, so that's not showing that number.
Thank you, that's a very good point. Thank you.
It is true that maybe 20 years ago, 30 years ago, that when you look at the people coming into rehab, probably you see a lot of people that are mainly the main disability was blindness, and maybe didn't have a secondary disability. Because of the medical improvement, because of the outreach, we get probably our majority of the people coming to the center with dual diagnosis. With secondary disabilities, and you know, third one, in many cases. So, although it is really kind of puts a lot of burden in a way on the staff to know a lot of stuff, I wouldn't change that for anything. I think it really made us better people with a lot more knowledge, with knowledge of other resources, and knowing that, I think the best thing that, there are two things. We know resources out there. Second, we know that we don't know much about other stuff. You know, if there is a mental illness, we know that we are not the mental health people that can do the actual diagnosis or, treatment on that. We just refer the person. Our still expertise is blindness, and but I think we learn a lot more of other resources and the symptoms. I think we learn a lot more of the symptoms. We can kind of know the symptoms and make the right referrals.
Thank you.
There is one more probably area that we did not cover is serving people with kids. We haven't done that in the past before, but last 5 years we are serving more and more people with kids and coming to the center with their kids.
Did I hear you right, Fatosh? The children come with them?
Yes.
Oh, well, good.
We provide daycare during the time, during the daytime, and we provide camp or any other thing if it is a summertime, and then the kids will with the parents.
Thank you. You know, I think the the daycare thing certainly is new. The people with multiple disabilities isn't. I have to confess, I go back 30 years, and there were people at that time too who certainly had other disabilities, and we did do things like. Take the intervention courses through the Independence Center and do other kinds of things that I'm sure are similar to what people are doing now to get ourselves aware of what needed to be done, how we could serve people for whom we didn't have expertise but who we needed to serve and needed to find out how to serve. So it's good to know that those things are going on, and there are some changes. I think there are the whole drug thing is more open and out there, I think, now than it was. I mean, it was there then, but I think that we, as a society, deal with it somewhat differently now from how we did then. And I think that gets reflected in what we do. One of the things that I'm always glad about this agency is that it doesn't hide its head in the sand. It does have connections to what's going on out and around, and so it responds to needs in ways that are part of what society is doing. And sometimes, you know, if society is doing well on something, we will too. If it isn't, then it's harder for us here to find how to do certain things. But one of the good things here too is that we reach not only out to other states with our networks, but to other countries as well. And I think that is a very good thing. And I think it really does allow us to reach more people in a more reasonable way than we otherwise would or even could.
Another thought that I would like to add is, for one time we had some training for center staff in particular on suicide intervention, and we also provided that training or a speaker on the topic at a center seminar, and so we've done that as well, trying to educate center, or well, clients, mostly in the center because it's a group setting, but also sometimes in the support group meetings or other gatherings of home teaching, to have some training or a discussion about whether it's suicide intervention or other issues that people face. So we try to educate the clients as well.
Girl?
Mm-hmm.
Another thought, too, is the point of contact with the agency. Of course, there are some referral sources that we would wish were sending people to us on a more regular basis. We have some very reliable sources of referral, of course, like Talking Book and Rail Services. But recently, Andy Hoff and Gene Wirt attended a convention of the Nebraska Optometric Association. They had a booth, and that was an opportunity for them to network with a broad spectrum of eye care providers. That is certainly an area that has not been a strong source of referral, but it certainly could be. Both Gene and Andy feel that needs to be continued, and I think we are going to make that part of our future plan to do just that.
Thank you. Does anyone else have anything on this subject before we move to the next item on the agenda? Hearing nothing, we will we'll move on to the next thing, which is a public comment. Does anyone have anything to bring up about this or any other topic at this time?
Barb?
Yes.
This is Hubert. What would your thoughts be about looking into contact with like the Lincoln Indian Center, or perhaps even trying to find out when, say, powwows or other events of other ethnic groups are taking place, and looking into going there? Do you think that might be some way of contacting some of these other populations?
May I jump
sure.
in? Yeah, that's a good idea, and we do, we are in contact with the Lincoln, it used to be called the Indian Center.
Yeah, okay.
I haven't learned their new name, but the folks, a director and someone else from that place came recently to tour the center. Actually, tours of getting folks from other entities like that, Hubert, that's a good way to help people in a short time see the scope of what's possible and what we provide here. We also recently had the person who's been hired as the outreach coordinator and another kind of outreach or liaison person from the Nebraska City or the Center for the Education of Children who are blind and visually impaired to come and tour the center. So we do, anytime there's somebody we meet at a meeting or, you know, an entity that we either hear about, we'll contact them and invite them for a tour.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
We were, you know, close to with the Indian Commission. Actually, one of our clients from the center worked there, is still working there, and happened to be a Native American herself. And we, because of that, we begin to have a really good relationship, and they're going to, they have two newspapers, just for the, I believe, reservations that they serve, and also a couple of radio stations that they're going to put articles about.
That's great. Anything else? Okay, the next item is the report from the chairman. Things as usual are busy. Since our last meeting, I attended and gave a report to the National Federation of the Blind State Convention, which was the 30th of September through the 2nd of October. I also attended the White Cane Banquet in Omaha on the 5th of November, and the mentoring kickoff, which was last week. And I think that that's something that has a lot of potential for people to be working together. I have a calendar that has quotes on it, and the one for today happened to be, most people say that as you get old, you have to give up things. I think you get old because you give up things. And somebody named Senator T. Green was, you know, attributed with that quote. And I really think that, you know, in terms of dealing with mentoring and that kind of thing, that's kind of appropriate. Bob Burns and Nancy Altman are also committed mentors now. And, you know, I really do think this is a good thing that's happening. Unfortunately, I missed the Orientation Center Alumni Association banquet. It was on the 22nd of October, which was at the same time that my mother-in-law's funeral happened. And I do appreciate all the, Brad and I both appreciate all the concern that we've received from various people upon the death of his mom, Esther Jones. She had been very involved with a lot of people personally, and also was very supportive of things having to do with making things better for blind people wherever she was. And so, you know, we certainly appreciate everyone's sympathy, and I hope the fundraiser goes well. You know, certainly that particular thing is something that we can hopefully all get behind and to help with. I also want to congratulate you, Pearl, on the officialness of your AFB board position happening in October. And we thank you for sending your 2006 goals again. We're always glad to be reminded of those, and, you know, try to participate in them as much as we can. We're also very pleased always to get complimentary messages about staff. This time we heard favorable things about Jan Brandt, Connie Daly, and Amy Burrish, and we're always glad to get those. And we want to thank Val for keeping the staff listings up to date. And we're glad to receive the anniversary letters. During this time period, we watched you congratulate Candy Larson and Bill Brown, Jan Brandt, Deanne Johnson, Sean Jernis, Don Ward, Nancy Fleurel, Terry Harris, Fatosh Floyd, and Amy Burrish. We were also pleased to know that the Governor Heinemann came, and Senator Heidemann's staff. Boy, that is enough to get confusing. And we're really glad when people do come to tour the center. We hope Senator Price will do that at some point in the future, and we hope that the material sent to Senator Combs's office will help her to be supportive as well. And we're always pleased to know that people from here, and particularly in the center, are always reaching out to people. The flood relief effort, for instance, for hurricane survivors is really a very worthwhile thing for people to be doing. And, you know, Kathy and others who have worked to make sure that happened, that's really a neat thing. We're also pleased that Jane Lansaw got a new job, although we're sorry that she's gone, and we hope Sarah Schmidt likes her new job. We continue to be concerned about the rehabilitation situation. We know that there are a lot of changes happening, and some of that we'll probably be touching on later in the meeting. I did write to George Kosovich, since he is our new liaison person, and, you know, he will probably be getting in touch with us at some point soon to begin whatever the new processes are. And we're continuing to be concerned about the Randolph Shepherd situation. I really thought that Randy Swanson's letter, and that yours, Pearl, to Senator Enzi were right on the target for that. Really hoping that some things will turn around with that, and all of us need to not only be vigilant, but we need to participate in what's going on with that. I think at this point, unless there are questions, that's really what my report is. I know that it's not supposed to be what people do to apologize for their voice or whatever, but mine is definitely having some trouble today. I hope that it isn't making me sound either disinterested or you know, weak kneed or whatever. It's just that it is not really working all that well today. Anyway, so the less I can talk, the better off we'll all be.
This is Val. Do you need some more water?
No, not yet. Thank you.
You sound good.
Yeah. No. Well,
I can tell.
Going through my throat is uncomfortable.
Oh. There's a lot of that going around.
Okay, if there are no questions, we'll move on to the next public comment section, which may go just as quickly. Okay, the next item is a 10-minute break, and right now I have about 10:17 or so, so we can reconvene about 10:30. We're running ahead of schedule, folks. Okay, we're back in order here. The next item on the agenda is the report from the executive director. Pearl?
Thank you very much. First, I would like to say that most of you know I've been having a lot of email problems, and so please, anytime if there's something that you think you should be getting from me and haven't, or you send me a note and I have rudely not replied, call me, because it could very well be. And I know, just for example, with the when Bob sent out the two documents for our focus topic, Barbara actually had received both, so I'm guessing you all received both. Mm-hmm. On my email, there was only one attachment. I went back and looked, and there was only one. So I was the one that had said to Bob, you need to send the second one. And,
I saw
Barbara's reply saying, so anyway, that's the kind of...
I've been having trouble pulling up attachments for some reason.
You have. And whenever there's something like that you want to read the thing, if it's from us, call us, and we can always paste the document into an email. So do let us know if there's anything like that.
Yeah, I was reading that statistic thing, I was going, is this different than the other one? I had to read the whole thing through.
I did too.
It was a test.
Thing in it that was different.
Yeah, I apologize, but anyway, so just keep that in mind all the time, really, because you never know for sure. And I do try to reply to people.
So you probably, Pearl, I sent you a tag of all the motions, board motions I was reading.
I did get that.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. And there was kind of a time where I was getting some things but couldn't reply, and I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, okay, first I usually start with field services, so I'll do that again. Number that we have served, actually that we served during federal fiscal year 05, which ended September 30th, was 840, and we had 82 successful closures during that year. For independent living, it was 844 with, well, there's a good typo, 262 successful closures. That can't be right. Well, let's see, where do I have that? Anyway, I know that the 844 served is correct. So the total persons served in the past year is 1,684. The center has had 133 full-time clients since we've been really tracking in 96. Of those, 76 people are in competitive employment, 19 are homemakers, 27 are still students. So 89.7% are employed, and 20% are students. Only 8.2% of the center population are not working. So we're very proud of that. The staffing update, No, I think that Betty Burrish was acclaimed the governor's employee of the year for the commission. And we had William Brown, Bill Brown, celebrated 30 years with employment with the state. Of course, he was with Voc Rehab before he came to us. And then three people, all center staff, Jeff Altman, Mary Davis, and Fatosh Floyd, all celebrated their 10-year state working out anniversary. And so the whole center went to the award ceremony at the Capitol, and I think that was really a neat opportunity for those three staff to be acknowledged and for the center to see, you know, how great it is to work for the state, because you get a cup after 10 years. But it's a nice ceremony.
Wow, congratulations.
So yes. Nice. We appreciate all their good work. We have just hired a person. You know that Sarah Schmidt left us September 23rd, was her last day. She got a job with a mental health provider in Omaha. And so it was a good opportunity for her, and we were sorry to lose Sarah, but I would like to introduce you to our new Voc Rehab counselor in Omaha, Kathy Brown Hollins. Kathy, could you stand up for just a second? Kathy just completed her training in the center. In fact, her last day of real center training will Whoa. Be, sorry, I don't know what that, will be next Wednesday, and then she will start her employ with us
the
20th, same day. So,
one's the 23rd, the other's the 20th.
Okay, thank you. So, no break.
Yes.
But we're very excited to have Kathy with us. And would you tell a little bit about your background, Kathy?
Employment or?
Sure, whatever you'd like to share with the board and the public.
Back in 91, I graduated with a nursing degree and worked until the very end of 97 when I started having vision problems. And it was a social worker in the hospital who put me in contact with the commission. And I mean, I was home 2 days before Robert Newman was there, and I started receiving services back then. My first contact was I wanted to be an independent homemaker, which I did. And
did some volunteer work and I wanted to return to school and I needed more training, and so that brought me here, the center. And so I've gone through the training and had a lot of great successes, and now I'll be an employee.
Thank you, Kathy. We're real excited to have you with us. Thanks.
Welcome.
We, on November 2nd, we just upgraded Deanne Johnson from a support staff to, or staff assistant to Voc Rehab Tech in the Omaha office. She has increasingly been doing more direct work with clients, which is the main difference between the support staff person and the Voc Rehab Tech. So her position was upgraded.
What was her name again, Pearl?
Deanne Johnson.
Okay, Deanne.
Yeah, she's in the Omaha office. And then the last days of the people that unfortunately we had to say goodbye to, Jane Lansall left September 14th, Susan Rowe, September 16th, Janet Graham, September 16th, Linda Kane and Karen Mosier both September 30th. Susan and Janet are both working for the state of Nebraska, and as is Karen. And Linda, I believe, has moved or plans to move shortly back to Colorado, where she came from before she worked for us. And also another staff update is Jeff Altman has just Wednesday night was elected to the National Blind Professionals Certification Board.
Oh,
so
wow.
We're proud to have him on that board as well. Those are the staff updates. Then the business enterprises, we'll talk more about Braille labelers later, but I did want to tell you the last time I reported that they were working on their bylaws to bring them in compliance with the board, or with the new rule. And they have developed the draft of the new bylaws and made the changes to bring that committee and the vendors committee into compliance. And so those will be voted on at the upcoming meeting of the committee. I have the bylaws with me if you want more information about that. Did you board members receive a draft of that?
No, we haven't received anything since the ones that talked about the old rule.
Okay. I will get that emailed to you. Of course, it's just a draft, but I'll send that to you so that you can read that. The next meeting of the vendors committee is in Omaha. I want to say November 2nd, but let me check. November 2nd.
December 2nd?
Yeah. Thank you. It's all a blur. I've done it. At the Omaha State Office Building. At 1 or 1:30, or did we have to meet somewhere else?
No, it's there. I can't remember the room number.
So you haven't received the notice of that meeting either?
No.
Huh. Okay. Was that the end of my time?
No.
Oh, good. Good. I was worried.
This is Val. Am I to have sent that? I sent the public notice to the paper, but Terry didn't ask me to send notice to anyone else. So if I was to send it to the board, that's my fault.
I think it's technically the responsibility of the committee and the NBE staff, but why don't you add that to your just automatically, when you do public notice of anything, to go ahead and send it to the board. Then we'll know for sure. If we give it to Val, we know it'll get done. And I will email, I'll email that one for this time. And then I'll also email the draft bylaws.
This is Val, I don't have those.
Right, right. So I'll take care, anyway, you're gonna have a couple days off, so I'll do this one. And there's a new opportunity, we, I think, told you before about the immigration services were building new buildings in Omaha and Lincoln. I'm looking for my notes on that one. The Lincoln one is opening, here it is. Well, they, our operation there, excuse me, will begin December 2nd. They only have right now a few, or as of early December, they will only have a few security guards, but they, sorry. They want us to have our machines operating right away anyway. After January 15th is when they're supposed to really begin operation, and they will have 550 to 600 full-time employees. So a letter has just gone out to the current vendors in the state. They always get the opportunity to bid on any new opening, new facility. So at this next meeting, we also will be hearing who is has bid on that, if anybody wants to move into that. And if not, then we go to clients or, you know, people in the community that would be eligible to be a blind vendor. So that is that one.
When is the Omaha one due to open? Or?
Well, I believe it's after January also. We don't have the exact date on that yet. Or, I mean, we probably have a date, but they keep kind of changing that one yet. Now, I wonder when there are, when the letter goes to all the vendors about a new opportunity, we probably should have Terry copy you on all of those as well. I shouldn't say all of them. I mean, they don't happen that often that we get new ones, but I will have him do that. That letter to the current vendors is always a formal step to alert people of when the opening date of a new facility really is going to start. Or not just new facilities, like, say if someone retires, then that place that that person had been working would become open, and so this same step of a letter announcing the opening would go out. So you'll get the letter when that one is up for bid. And feel free to stop me at any time. I just keep barreling through. I also was not able to attend the Alumni Association banquet. I was sorry that I missed it. I was traveling that day and had hoped to get back in time, but had some delays along the way, so I missed that. But they had a successful banquet. People I spoke with had a lot of fun. Mary Davis gave a speech, and from what I hear, it was really, really excellent. They are selling some logo shirts. The purpose of the Alumni Association is to support the center and to support the ongoing activities of the center. So they've jumped right in. They're doing some fundraising, and that's really great. And also, Dr. Nyman was awarded presented with an award for his great work in starting the center in the first place. And he was not able to attend the banquet either. And so yesterday we had a surprise. I shouldn't say we, the Alumni Center, the Alumni Association coordinated this with the center staff and clients, and a few of the others of us attended. They got Dr. Nyman here on a pretense of a meeting, and in fact, we had the conference room full of people that were very excited to, you know, about his work, and they presented him with this award. So it was really very nice. The mentoring project, of course, is in full gear. We've got the matches made, the mentors receive their training, as Barbara mentioned earlier, and had their first real activity together. So that is moving along. Our in-service training grant for the next 5 years will just be the basic. It's about $21,000 for each year. And so we'll be putting on state staff meetings and district meetings, but using local talent and our own resources as much as possible, which we always did anyway, but we were able to bring in some real good speakers. But we'll still, you know, do our best to have quality state staff meetings. And we will still be able to send some staff to training sessions elsewhere, but of course not to the extent that we all got rather spoiled with the last 5 years. And